Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So, Peter's been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. And when Jesus tells them to put the net over the other side of the boat, they catch so many fish, it's like a miracle. And Peter instantly knows this guy, Jesus, is more than just another teacher. He knows that there is something extra special about him. He begins to get a little glimpse of his divinity. And what is his response? I don't even know that it was a voluntary response. It's like he fell to his knees in humility and says, "Get away from me, I'm a sinner. I can't be in your presence." And in that act of humility, that is when our Lord heals him. What does he say? "Do not be afraid." And then he gives him a mission, tells him to go. Similar situation happened with Isaiah. Isaiah has a vision of God. His first response is, "Woe to me." He's afraid he's going to die. And he starts confessing that he has unclean lips. "And I live among a people of unclean lips." When I was reading this story about Isaiah, I was reminded of the story this priest told. He was visiting his family. He was visiting his brother and his nieces and his nephews, and they're all around the table. And this priest particularly had an interest in science. And he had read a scientific article about DNA. And the story went that if you kiss somebody in a particular way, their saliva, the DNA in their saliva, gets into your saliva for the rest of your life. And so the priest is telling this story, and his niece goes, "Tuh, tuh." Now, I'm not sure that's what Isaiah meant by having unclean lips. For sure, we could get unclean lips from kissing something. But Isaiah had more in mind. Because sometimes we use our lips not to praise God, but to deceive. Not to tell the truth, but to what? Tell a lie. Not to build people up, but to do what? Tear them down. And when we use our lips in that way, we're not using them for the purpose that God has given them to us. You know, your whole body was given to you to praise God. You think about why you exist, why you have lips and hands and feet, a heart and a soul. They're given to you to praise God. And Isaiah knew that that wasn't him. He knew he was an unclean man living in the midst of an unclean nation. In the presence of God, he says, "Woe to me." He's afraid he's going to be struck dead. And then the story unfolds. In the presence of God, there was an altar. And on the altar, there was incense burning. You know how we sometimes have incense at church? We're not going to have any over here because I'm afraid the smoke alarm will go off. But we have incense at church. It's a symbol of our prayer rising. And the incense before our Lord, and there was embers, coals in the incense. And it says a seraphim flew over to the incense and took a coal. Now, what is a seraphim? A seraphim is one of the choirs of angels. The angels are ranked in choirs. They go cherubim, seraphim, powers, principalities, angels, and archangels. And sometimes you'll hear me rattle off some of those names right before we do the holy, holy, holy. You pay attention today and you'll hear that. Because what are the angels, the choirs of angels around the throne of God, what are they all the time doing? They're praising God. And one of the ways they praise God is holy, holy, holy. And we join the angels in their prayer. But I digress. There's the seraphim. He flies over to the altar. He takes a coal all off the altar and he brings it over to Isaiah, the man of unclean lips, and he takes this burning coal. You can just imagine this. And touches it to his lips. And he says, I'm purifying you of your sin. I'm purging you. That's where we get the word purgatory from. The cleansing power of God. Whether we're purified here in this life or we're purified in the next, nothing unclean will enter the presence of God. That's right out of the book of Revelation. So we seek this purification. Isaiah purified. And then there's this question, if you will. And it's an important question. Who am I going to send out into the world to proclaim my goodness? And now Isaiah has been cleansed and he can say, here I am. Send me. Send me. So it's important for us to have cleansed lips, a cleansed mind, a cleansed soul, that we can do that which we were created to do, and that is be witnesses of, to proclaim the goodness of God. Another component of the Mass. I was talking about the Holy, Holy a minute ago. Whenever Deacon Eddie or Deacon Mike gets ready to proclaim the gospel, they'll come stand before him and they'll say, your blessing, Father. And I will pray over them that God would be in their heart and on their mind, cleanse their lips, that they would worthily proclaim the gospel. That's what I pray over them, okay? And then they come over here. And if I'm by myself, I do the same thing. I say, cleanse my lips, cleanse my heart and lips, Almighty God, that I may worthily proclaim your holy gospel. You know, we should all... It's a good prayer, not just for priests and deacons about to pray the gospel or read the gospel. It's good for all of us to pray that God would heal us and cleanse us. And why? Why? Because each one of us must say, and please understand this, this isn't optional. This is a requirement. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a Christian, you say, I'm a Christian, a member of the body of Christ, then we must speak the words of Isaiah and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, send me. Now, that wasn't Isaiah's first response, was it? His first response to being called by God was, I'm going to die. I'm not worthy. This is, you know, get somebody else. And I don't think that's an unusual response. But we come back here and now. And I want you to think about this. God is calling you and me to be his witnesses in the world. And if not you, then who? If you're not going to be a witness to Christ, to your friends and your family, your co-workers, then who is? And if not now, then when? When? And if you're not going to proclaim Christ with your life, with your lips, with your hands, with your body, then what are you going to proclaim? Because we're all proclaiming something. We're all a walking, talking, breathing message about something. And so we come back to this prayer, Lord, cleanse my lips. You know, Isaiah is not the only one in the readings tonight who felt unqualified. What about Peter? Peter, the story goes, he's fishing, as we recapped already. There he was, and Peter gets a glimpse of Jesus' power. He falls to the ground and says, get away from me. I'm a sinner. What about St. Paul in the second reading? St. Paul, the same way. St. Paul said, I'm not even qualified to be an apostle. I persecuted the church. And I tell you, I'm not trying to compare myself to Peter or Paul or Isaiah. I'm telling you this story not to be humble or anything. I'm telling you this because it's a true story. This is the truth. When I first felt like maybe it was really true, maybe God was calling me to be a priest, when I first had that idea, after I says, you know, I don't want to be a priest. After a little while, as it really kind of started to sink in, I thought to myself, if God has stooped down to calling me to be a priest, things have gotten awfully bad. And I think that's a normal reaction for us to think we're not qualified. But you know, one of those little pithy sayings, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And we're all called. We are all called to proclaim Christ with our lives, with our lips. And sometimes we have to pray, Lord, cleanse my lips. Cleanse my lips. You know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the deacon will ask for a blessing that his heart and lips be prepared to proclaim the gospel. You all, when's the last time you asked that your lips be prepared? A few minutes ago when I did this, the Lord be with you, and you said, and with your spirit, and I said, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, and you said, glory to you, O Lord, right? And you did this, what'd you say? The Lord what? Be in my mind. The Lord be on my lips. The Lord be in my heart. I hope you really mean that. I hope you pray that. I hope you're not just going through the motions. How easy it is to just go through the motions. But let's pray that God be in our heart and in our mind and on our lips, because we have a beautiful message to give. What is our message anyway? In the second reading tonight, St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. And he's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a community in Greece that he had visited, that he had established, that he had built a church there, and he had moved on from. He's writing back to them to remind them of his message to them. And we can read that letter in the Bible, Paul's letters to the Corinthians. And we read part of it tonight. And when you hear these kinds of words, if you read them yourself or you hear them proclaimed at Mass, Paul says these words. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I received. So the most important thing that Paul had to say to the people in Corinth, what was it? We just heard it a few minutes ago. What I handed on to you of first importance. And how did Paul, by the way, how did Paul get his information? He was on his way, literally, to kill Christians. He had a letter of permission to persecute the Christians from the authorities. And God knocked him to the ground with a bolt of light and revealed himself to Paul. And what was the most important thing that he revealed? For I handed on to you of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins. That Jesus Christ died for your sins and mine. That God did not come to the world to condemn us, but to do what? To take our sins on himself. But we see this act of humility from Isaiah and from Paul and from Peter, and that's what we need, to be humbled by our sins and to receive the mercy of God. You know, we live in a world now, and this is the other side of the message, for I handed on to you of first importance what I received. This is what we need to proclaim with our cleansed lips, that Christ died for our sins, but we live in a world that just denies sin altogether, that has forgotten that they need to be forgiven. So that has to be part of our message too. But if not you, then who? And if not now, then when? And if you're not going to proclaim Christ, what are you going to proclaim? with your life. The great catch of fish. Jesus tells Peter, go out into the deep. What does that mean? Go out into the deep. Get away from the shore. Get away from the safety zone. Take a step out in faith. Take a chance. No matter what you do in life, you got to take a chance. And so, brothers and sisters, as we hear ourselves being called to have clean lips and to proclaim the message of God, I encourage you to go out into the deep and take a chance and give God a chance.